Did you have a name for it? Did you call it something?
Well, in our camp, we get our own name.
What was
our
the name
for
name?
Our activities? I don't know what was that.
We get
one name, they put Touch Me Not.
Touch Me Not.
Touch Me Not.
Holy Maitang Here.
Yeah. They put that name, but yeah. I did not care into much. They put that name with my gang. Touch Me Not. We got that uniform before.
Was the purpose of the organization anything other than recreation? Did they also protect, was it mutual protection? Like, if the Filipinos were being pressured by somebody, would the organization try and help them? Or if somebody got sick, or somebody got married, or somebody died, would the organization help?
Yeah, in the camp, the unity of the camp people living in the camp, we get that unity to help. We start up here. We donate 20 cents, 5 cents, dead who married,
Was there some kind of, they call them mutual aid societies, Nanong, where people may want to go back, or like an insurance kind of thing, where money and then they would, afterwards, they would collect some amount and they could go back to the Philippines, or burying the dead.
On repatriation.
Yeah.
Rock for them.
That one, well,
you joined
that day. So many organizations come up. That's when
the organization.
Yeah, that's when the organization come up.
Yeah, going home benefit.
Yeah, going home benefit. They get one before.
What's the name?
That was
Benevolent. Oh, I know that. Yeah.
Benevolent is one.
Benevolent.
Oriental Benevolent is one.
Yeah.
Gampunya at the head. Tulong is one. That's Manibog one.
Manibog
was the most. Yeah, the strongest of all.
But you didn't join Manipur?
I did not join.
Only
Oriental Benevolent.
Benevolent.
And who's the
Grand
Oriental? He said Tag Iya's Oriental Benevolent.
What is Maui? Gampunya.
Gampuni?
Gampunya.
Oh, yeah.
Could you tell us more about these organizations, Nano? Like when you joined, how come you joined and what did you do?
Well, she's. The bake is this. How much we pay was?
3, 6. You get single, double, triple.
Yeah, you get. They get single membership, double membership, and triple membership. The single, I think, you pay $2 a month. See? No.
$2 or $3.
So something like that. But the double, you get to pay double, and the triple to pay triple. And when you going home. The double, the single, you get your single beneficiary, how much money you put in, how many years you what?
For 2 years, I
two
think.
Years.
Contract, yeah.
Two years. So when they reach 2 years, they go to the organization and collect their benefit and go home at the time. But in the long run, this organization broke up because the more the people listen in the organization, the more money they get to collect.
Yeah.
And they cannot pay them no more.
Yeah.
See? The organization cannot pay how much they collect, especially when triple. You get 100 a year to go home. The second could be 200, that is going to be 600. So in the long run, the organization all broke up. They could not pay the people no more. You see, that's what happened to me. They never even paid me all.
How much money did you lose in that one?
Oh. We lost plenty, yeah?
About 2-3 years, yeah?
Yeah.
2-3 years of paying $2.
$3
a month.
Yeah.
No, they gave $3.50, I think.
$3.50
My fare only go back.
Yeah, only the fare they give. Because
they didn't give all.
Those days, the all organizations
bankrupt already. We went home late. Only the early people got.
Some people were able to draw money and go home.
Yeah.
They actually made use of the
right
the money.
The early, but the last members, they never got nothing.
Bankrupt.
What other kinds of organizations were there that tried to get?
Hinanama.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't join.
Hinanamat.
Inanama. Ilocano,
that's an Ilocano one?
Yeah.
What was
Inanama.
That about? What was
just
the purpose?
Going home.
Oh, also going home.
Going home benefit. But we didn't join. We just joined one.
What about like Filipino Gran Oriente? You know that, or the Legionarios del Trabajo? Were they?
No,
they didn't have those where you
they
were.
Don't have that.
Oh,
they only keep in this.
Dimasalang, was that in your area?
No.
No, you didn't
have that. That's only members. They're only members. You are a member of that Dimasalang or the Rosario.
You pay a membership fee.
Membership, that's it. No more benefit, going home benefit.
With this association's manual, this going home benefit, how did they ask Filipinos to join them? Was it done officially through the camp, or did you have to make contact outside of the plantation?
Oh, they come around. They come around in the camp.
Uh-huh.
And you know, those people, they smart talking. Smart talking, they know how to talk. They can hold you up. When you talk, you believe them too much. You believe them. So, you know, the poor people, they are old people before they really like going home and get the money.
Yeah.
See, so they think of the money. So they join. But those guys, 1-2 years was good. Like I said, the longer you stay, the longer more money you get, but they could not pay them anymore. So they do something wrong that
they give you a receipt?
Yeah, they do give receipt before. They give receipt.
Did you know Manibog? Have you?
No, it's my townmate.
Oh,
Manibog is my townmate from Lawag.
But you didn't join?
I did not join because I joined the other one already. I get one now.
Cannot afford
no more.
But was Manibog, where was Manibog was living in Honolulu at the time?
Hilo. Live in Hilo.
When did you get married now? You were in the camp, yeah?
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what
tell
year was that?
That?
Well, you tell us how you met first.
Right. And how the courtship.
One thing I want to.
We live in the same camp.
Were there many women living?
Yeah, that's what
I'm that was about. Another thing I have wanted to ask too.
Right.
On the plantation, when you got there in 1927, were there many women living?
No. Not much, yeah. Only about 2-3 family was there.
Were any of the laborers already married? Were some already married? No.
From the Philippines?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all married. Mostly they're all married.
They
back
married.
Home?
Yeah, back home. Back home.
For me, you're single
now
when you became young.
Or later. But the beginning, 1927, before I come.
Part.
Yeah, the
when
early
Mama
part.
Then, when Mama
yeah.
then came, yeah?
The early part, no.
They
no
weren't
single.
Married.
They're all married.
Oh, the early groups were married.
Yeah.
Their wives
married.
Were back
in the
Philippines.
Yeah.
Did any of them bring their wives here?
Some, they
did. Some did.
Very few, about 1%, 2%.
Yeah.
Because those days, in the plantation, you live in the plantation, it's hard. They used to grab your wife.
Somebody,
cowboy, they call.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was their style before.
Who would do the grabbing?
Oh, some other Filipinos.
Yeah.
Grab somebody's wife.
They call cowboy,
yeah?
Yeah. That's why I had before, you know.
You didn't read
that? That's what I mean. Before I arrived.
Yeah.
Like in the ship that you came, were there women and children with
no,
you?
No, no women.
Just
I got two boys. Came with me. Because the parents is in Hawaii already, so they are immigration men, they put under my care when we travel to the city.
When did the women start coming to the plantation that you worked at? What year?
Oh.
No?
No women?
When the plantation give the privilege to those married people to bring their families, I don't know what year that. They give the privilege for the married people to bring their wife, the family.
Who will pay for the transportation?
The husband who ordered them.
The plantation won't pay.
No.
Yeah.
As long you stand for the fare.
Yeah.
So I don't know what year. That was sometime 1935. Yeah, 1935. Then.
So when you were in the Pahala plantation, how many, do you remember what is the population of the Filipinos were and how many of those would be like women?
In one camp.
Yeah, like in your camp.
You mean the family?
Yeah, well, yeah. Like how many were single men?
Or how many Filipinos
altogether?
About how many?
Oh, in my camp. In our camp, almost 150 people.
150?
150.
Mostly all Filipinos?
Mostly all Filipinos. Yeah. But married, I think only, how many married? One, two, Angkai, you.
About 50.
No more.
No more.
Only 4 or 5 families, I think. I remember. Yeah.
4 or 5 families.
Four
were
five
married.
Families in that camp.
So now, how did?
And one of those married families was.
the parents. Yeah.
Abelay, no?
Abelay.
Oh, How could you describe that? Like how we met.
Oh, well,
he was the dashing foreman.
One way.
Well, they
can afford to support me.
What year did you first become interested in one another?
1938.
Before the war.
Before the war,
anyway.
The early part you proposed.
Early part of 38.
Before 38.
No. Before. And then.
38, 37.
But we know each other.
Yeah, we know each other because
we live in the,
we
same,
live in
camp.
The same camp. We play together,
yeah.
Like his brother. We got plenty of brothers. We play volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
I play volleyball with them.
Uh-huh.
Oh, believe it or not, when I was in the plantation during the time, I was good players. You know. I pick up all the brother, we knock all the Filipinos in the camp.
So you made friends with the brothers?
Yeah.
Through the brothers, and I was spectator.
Was it easy for you to, like, record Manang, or hard?
Oh, very hard. It's really hard for me.
Really hard.
Those days, it's very hard, you know.
Why, because of the other Filipinos were
no.
watching all the time, or is
no because of
no,
the language, eh?
Prejudice. Filipino and
Visayan. But where her parents were Visayan,
and
they didn't trust the Ilocano.
Yeah.
Oh.
At the time.
So had you learned any Visayan by this time?
Oh, I did.
A little
but
bit.
Tagalog?
I don't speak too much in Visayan. I always mix Tagalog and Visayan.
So when my parents talk to him, he understands.
Yeah.
So how did you prove yourself being an Ilocano? And how did you win? Did you have to win the confidence first of her parents? Is it Filipino style, like back home?
Yeah.
You have to give gifts or court a long time.
Well,
you have to pay 500.
Oh, this dowry, bride price.
Yeah.
Because my mother said that money supposed to be reserved in case it's me to need. You have that money.
They ask for that.
You can get out.
I have to give them that amount so they can get married.
How did you know that you had to give that amount? Was there a meeting?
Yeah.
A meeting? You met with the father?
He sent 2 men to talk to my parents.
Yeah.
Okay.
Old men, older men.
Visayan?
Visayan men. To talk to your parents about wanting to marry the daughter. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's how you get together.
So what year did the marriage happen?
December.
Of 1938.
Yeah.
Was it a big...
Well, for the camp.
For the camp as well, yeah, because
the
people respect me at that day, those days.
And you had to pay for most of the activities too.
Yeah.
So it was a big expense.
We made a good party.
They donated.
We donated. They arranged all the party for me.
How were you married? What ceremony was it?
Catholic.
Yes.
We went to Hilo.
We went to Hilo.
Hilo.
So the marriage was in Hilo.
Yes.
And then you
came back
for the celebration.
What were the prejudices that the Visayans had in the Ilocanos in the time?
Well, the Visayan people figured that they are higher bracket than
the Ilocanos. Why is that? Why are they higher bracket?
I don't know.
Maybe because they were fewer.
I think Ilocano laborers and Visayans.
No. One other way. The Ilocanos, they don't talk too much, you know. They keep quiet, and besides, when they out, they really show themselves, and they can talk more about themselves, bringing themselves. So that's how they are problematic.
Did most of the Visayans who came seem to have more education back in the Philippines? No, it was about the same. But it was just an attitude. What did the Ilocanos think about the Visayans?
Oh, well, they took them the kind that, what you call that? Burot.
Burot.
In Tagalog, Burot. They outspoken.
Oh, outspoken.
Okay. So the Ilocanos get mad.
Do they think like Hambugero?
Yeah, Hambugero. Yeah.
Show off?
Show off.
Yeah.
Especially when we get weekend, you know how it is. Besides people, they dress up, you know.
Yeah.
They well dress up when they go out. But the Ilocanos, they just go as it is. So the Visayan, they take advantage on that. The Ilocano. So they get misunderstanding.
The Ilocano is more on the thrifty side. Yeah. They're thrifty, you know? And the Visayan is, why worry? Yeah? They just...
Where did you live after you got married then? Did you live just...
Oh, so as foreman, they gave you a separate
house.
Place.
Yeah.
And then you moved in there with together.
Yeah.
And you start your family right away?
No.
No?
Then the war broke out, yeah. It was 39. 41.
1941.
That's when we came to Hawaii. We didn't have children for 11 years.
11 years.
Till 11 years after you were married.
Yeah.
So when the war broke out, you came here to Honolulu, and what did you do now? First of all, how did you react to the war when you heard about you were there when Pearl Harbor was bombed and all that. What was the general feeling and reaction of Filipinos there or people there? Do you remember? Was there...
Oh, in the camp.
Yeah, in the camp.
We had to gather all the knives, Akatsu knives. It was
all the weapons.
All the weapons. Yeah, like, you have to search all.
Like
anybody
all
get
knives.
Guns, something like that.
They might fight us.
Was there a...
They think the Japanese were going to land here.
Yeah. And really the Japanese was prepared. After they... Pearl Harbor, all the Japanese in the plantation all get together.
So
they really prepared.
They have their own meeting.
They get their own meeting.
The Japanese.
The Japanese met on the plantation.
Mm-hmm.
What did they meet about? You know,
we don't know.
We don't know because
they
don't tell.
Party.
But I saw them. They go
together.
Mm-hmm.
They have parties.
That's when the real investigation go into the plantation.
Who came? FBI?
FBI, they get that. So they investigate all the leaders, Japanese leaders.
Mm.
So they caught them. They really prepared.
Yeah.
They really get secret. The teacher, Japanese school, Colonel Japanese army, Colonel, the teacher, Bunsan, they call the minister.
He was there, he was one of the...
So, they hold them all, they cut all the Japanese in secret way.
What happened to the Japanese lunas or the heads? And
well, they stay. They stay in the job, but they keep them. They keep their eye on them. The FBI or the army authority keep an eye on them. They really keep them tight. They get worse than the Filipinos to keep them in one place. They cannot let them go out.
Was there some anti-Japanese feeling before the war broke out? Did you start feeling, you know, more like that there was going to be a... Because the Japanese were already advancing in Asia and all that, so... Was there a lot of talk about that, and did that affect relationship with the Japanese in the camp?
Well, that was very tight secret for them. We cannot... We did not even know. But in the long run, when the war is more and more tight, then we know about them. That the Japanese were really the secret. They really wanted to get away.
How did you relate to the Japanese when after Pearl Harbor was bombed? Like your friends, did you have Japanese friends or people you know in the camp? How did they know?
React?
Yeah, how
no,
did they
no
react?
Change. No change. They really get good secret. No change. Yeah. No hot feeling. No hot feeling. Yeah.
We don't blame them.
We don't blame
the people over there. The
yeah. No change. It's still the same to me.
But the plantation then became closed.
Closed.
And you had to get special documents in order to get permission to leave.
Leave, right.
Except women could leave more easily.
Right.
So you left the plantation in 1942.
Yeah.
But you left before 1942. You left in 1942.
One year after Pearl Harbor.
And did you leave together? Did you leave the plantation together?
No.
You went ahead.
You went ahead.
Because I came for vacation.
Where did you go?
To Palolo. Because my brother and mother were living there. So they told me to come for a vacation.
Is it easy? Was it easy to get permission? Who do you go to for permission to go out?
The plantation boss, the plant manager. Assistant, something. You gotta go to the office, plantation office, to get the pass to your airplane, something like that.
To get out.
Okay. What made you decide to leave now? Like after 1942, you.
Well,
leave the plantation.
Well, it was all scattered already. The progress of the laborers is. Pulled up, they hold my job too. See. They pull them a little while until I don't know how long. But
did they stop growing sugar for a while?
No,
no?
They still keep going. But the laborers' unity, like before, is getting down and down. Some people don't care to work. See? That's what the people think.
Yeah.
Why should we work? We're going to die a little more. War already, why he should work? You see, that's what happened. And I make myself too at the time. I don't care much about my job too at the time. See?
Yeah.
We think to come Honolulu. Because the laborers was held up. No progress on the price of the sugar. They hold up the price of the sugar.
Yeah.
That's why we cannot get more money. And Honolulu before is money.
So you decide to go to Honolulu for a better life.
Yeah.
I found out that the hiring
So you were already there, so you knew
that we have better wages.
Better wages. Sir.
That's how we came.
That's why what he did, he sent a telegram on me, telegram to me, that he is not feeling well. He come over. Then I take my pass to the plantation. He tell me the boss, well, you can go, Darren, you can go, but you gotta come back. as soon as he get well, I come back. Because they tell me, we need you here. Okay, so I get the pass. I came to Honolulu, but when you come to Honolulu, it's different law already. The law in Hawaii is different. You get no business already as soon as you come out from that island, plantation.
It's freer than...
Free already, yeah. That was the law.
The law of the plantation did not apply anymore to you when you left.
Right. Because their control in the plantation is different than the control of this island already, in defense work. Whenever you come here, they need you, or they don't can let you go. They let you go work for defense work.
So what was your, what job did you get when you got to Honolulu?
I didn't have time again to apply for a job.
Yeah.
Like skilled job, like mechanic, machinist, like that. I only know about labor. They tell me go to the labor. No, I don't want labor. I did not work too much. Leo, my job was for men.
So you
anyway, you gotta go. They say I don't like. I did not like it. So I make some idea that I can apply to the defense work. So where I come from, I know plenty people. I know who run the garage, mechanic job, like that. So I put all in my application that I work in the garage.
Experience
mechanic helper, all skill work, not labor. So that application that I see, so they take me in the defense work. See, I went in as a helper, machinist helper. Who I work with her in the same shop.
Where is that?
Navy Yard.
On the Navy Yard.
Navy
Yard.
The same shop.
How much is the pay then?
$31.
How much?
Was cheap. Was
beginning part.
Beginning part was 98 cents.
98 cents.
An hour.
$1.56.
No, after that.
After that.
I started at 98 cents an hour. But you gotta work long hours. 12 hours a day. 6 to 6.
Because of the war.
But after you 8 hours, your extra hours is
doubling.
When you came in 1942, how long did you find this job as a machinist? Did it take you a year?
No. It takes me about 4 or 5 months, no? About that. I cannot get in because that experience I got is cannot apply for the defense work. You can only do labor outside of the machine. Navy. So it takes me time to go around, work outside. I work in the laundry and I learn on the kitchen helper, all kind of jobs. But when my application came and I see the application pass skilled workers, so they called me to the Navy. So I went in as a machinist helper. So I was helping the machinist, working the machine, production shop, all kind of things, they make the machine. So after about 6 months, I think, I worked there. They calling for machine school, learn how to run the machine, how to learn a trade.
Blueprint reading.
So I saw the application, I applied for it. So I was qualified.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
I went to school. A fast school, 3 hours school. Fast, gotta be fast. When they instruct you the job, you had to know at least 50% before you. Because of the war. So that schooling I passed, I did the good job.
See, you went to school after all.
Yeah, I still, I was thankful for that. That's what my father did. I was thankful. So I passed the test. They put me in the machine operator now, not labor now, not help I mean.
Operator.
So I learned how to run the machine, lathe machine, where you work for the parts of
the boat.
Boat.
Yeah.
So I worked 2-3 months, I think. Then I got promoted. Second class operator until third class operator, I promoted to first class machine. No, third class machine is until first class machine.
First class machine.
Yeah. Before I was really fast these days. My mind was still good. In writing. Yeah.
I was good
these days.
Karun, wala na.
So far. In the shop I work, they put me as in charge again in the table. Where the work come in, where the work go out.
Oh, like a foreman again.
Yeah. Like just like foreman again. So I work on the table. They take me out from the machine.
Desk job now.
So what job come in from the ship, I take them down. What job go out, I send them out. I distribute the job to the machinist. Because I know already the machine, how the machine set. So, I get tired. Too much for me. I said, you put somebody, I go back on the machine. And the machine more easy, eh?
Yeah.
Because when you set up your job, you stay there running, just watch it. I tell the boss this too much.